At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Hello and welcome to episode 30 of the First and Goal podcast. I am Ben Rombrich, joined by Sim Langa. And Sim, I would say to say that last week was a disappointment would be an understatement. It kind of just felt like a couple really big missed opportunities. A couple disappointing losses, both at Michigan to start the week and then home against Wisconsin last weekend. And we'll talk about them both. But to me, you know, it wasn't necessarily that the games were lost. I think anybody that listened last week could kind of get the vibe that we were hinting that it was going to be a really tough stretch. But the two ways specifically that Purdue lost these games, and against the Michigan game, you get 0 points from your bench. And in the Wisconsin game, you just really struggle defending the basketball. To me, those are kind of like the two, I guess, areas of concern that we've had for a while with this team. And man, did they kind of rear their ugly head this past week.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, like last week, you know, we talked about the four game stretch and even the final seven that you had and how, like, yeah, it was going to be challenging and, you know, to try not to overreact. You know, if we dropped a couple along the way, but you know, you look at that Michigan game and despite not, you know, not shooting the greatest from three, and you know your bigs being in foul trouble, you know you have a chance to win that. But like you said, you get no offensive production from your bench, and then Wisconsin just seemingly not being able to stop them. I mean, you give up 58 points in the second half of that game. The way like they did, like those losses didn't pass the eye test. You know, because like you can lose and still be like, yeah, okay, you lost, but blah blah blah. But those were two losses where you looked at them and you were like, oh man, like that's not great. And I know, oddly enough, like I was rather upset about the Michigan loss, and then the Wisconsin loss. You know, you were more upset about that one. So you know, balance here on the pod, of course, that's what we like to do it. But yeah, it just it wasn't great, man. It was not great.
Yeah, I will say that for as bad as Purdue played the past week, at least they did not have a jersey retirement ceremony where they raised a jersey.
Upside down is fuck. Jesus.
So as bad as things are, at least they aren't that bad, because that, I think, takes the cake for having the worst week. Like, imagine Purdue having Jaden Ivey come back and you raise his jersey in the rafters and it's upside down. That's essentially what happened at Illinois.
Yeah.
But I digress. Let's start with the Michigan game, Sim. Like you said, you personally were more, I guess, for lack of a better term, upset about this loss. Michigan went on the road. Purdue went on the road to Michigan, end up losing by 75-73. And for me personally, why this one didn't bother me as much was, you know, to me, you go on the road, you again get legit 0 points from your bench. You have some very questionable whistles, which we will talk about, and you're still able to manage to, you know, be right there at the end, and you lose by two. You have a last second shot, which I legit thought for a second that three from Braden was going in. It looked like it was right on line at the start. But, you know, I didn't feel as bad because of that. Like, it was like, oh, well, you know, we kind of, you know, we played the one of the top teams in the Big Ten, only had our five starters score, you know, got hosed on some calls, and we still only lost by two. So that was kind of my thinking on that. But, you know, it is a game, and we've talked about it. We've talked about it, and we've talked about it, how you need your role players to step up, and you got absolutely nothing from your bench, which is a pretty disappointing thing. You know, it's not like that there weren't open looks. You just really didn't hit some shots. And, you know, for me, that was the biggest thing, is looking back at this week in general, is how kind of big of an area that has now become a concern, at least for me. And that's the bench play.
Yeah, no, I mean, we've talked about it repeatedly about, I think it's easier to give Jakari and Raleigh a bit of a pass because obviously they're freshmen, so you know a lot of these moments are new. But when you look at, you know, Cam and Miles, those are guys who, especially after coming off last year, you were thinking, hey, with more minutes, you know, there's a greater opportunity, and you know, we could see at least more of what we're seeing. You know, again, talking at the end of last year, you're like, hey, we'll at least see more of this. And you just don't see, like, to know that if someone had told me at the end of last year that there would be a game, a meaningful Big Ten game that would happen the following season, and in that game, Cam and Miles would combine to go 0 of 3 and have no points, I would have looked at you and been like, well, what does that even mean? Like, I don't even know how I genuinely would have reacted, how I would have responded to that. You have to get something from the bench, man. And like, combined, like, they, like, you know, between Cam, Jakari, Miles, and Raleigh, they only took five shots. And I mean, I don't remember the game, obviously, play for play, but I'd like to think that there were more opportunities than just for five shots. And you just, yeah, you need more from them. You need more from them. We talk about it when one of those guys has a good game, about how when they are able to produce, about what it does for the overall ceiling of the team. And I think that Michigan game showed you that, like, if you can get that, those are the type of games that you can win. And for me, the reason why this Michigan game bothered me is just when I looked at the outlook of the Big Ten, it just felt like the one that if you win this one, you really control your own destiny, and you also still have the ability to fuck up at least like once. Because as we discussed, like, you beat Michigan, you sweep them. So now not only are you I think we would have been a game ahead of them in the standings, it's essentially two games by default. Because, you know, like, because then you have the tiebreaker as well. And knowing that they still have to play Michigan State twice, you'd like to think that they at worst are gonna split that. So it kind of, to me, I was looking at it and I was like, yo, you beat Michigan and you kind of take them out of the question in terms of, assuming you do your part, you take them out of like being able to take your title. And like you said, I mean, there's a bunch of good stuff to point to, but the fact that, yeah, you did only lose by two, despite the foul discrepancy and thus free throw discrepancy, and, you know, having both of your bigs foul out and only getting points from your starters, you know, you still only lost by two. Yes. But when I think about the overall picture and like what this team, I imagine, is trying to accomplish and trying to make a deep run, you got to have more production. Like, you need more. I mean, we've been watching other teams have guys who step up off the bench and are giving production. Like, they're either hitting season averages or setting career highs off the bench. You know, they're just being able to produce off the bench. And like, that's, you know, we might not have paid much attention to it, cause obviously we've been winning. I mean, prior to these two losses, you'd won, I think, what, 11 out of 12, but It's long been a concern of mine, of like, the, you're not consistently getting production from the bench, and you need it. You really, really need it bad, because you have a game where, you know, one of your big three gets in foul trouble. Then what, you know, and having to deal with that type of adversity, you need to have someone off the bench who, you know, is going to come in and be able to give you something. And right now there's not really a guy who I can point to off the bench and say like, yeah, well, you know, he's going to give you this. And that to me, that's a problem. That is a problem.
Yeah, I would agree with all of that. And, you know, it just, to your point, it was a game that was right there for the taking too. I think at one point Purdue was up 10 with like under 15 minutes left in the game. And you got solid play from the big three. I think Braden finished with 24. Trey was right there with 22, and Fletch had 11. I'm sorry, Fletch had 15.
15.
You got what you needed from the big three, and you just literally didn't get much else. And so I think even to a larger extent, like this game, it was easy to point out the bench specifically. But to a larger extent, just the others. And when I mean others, I'm talking about anybody that's not Braden, Trey, and Fletch. You just need, and I think kind of what, I think we've almost kind of, how we said, like, you don't really care who it is, you just need a guy to step up. The problem with that is there's going to be times when nobody steps up. And so
Right.
there's not a lot of consistency in that area. And that really kind of reared its head in both games. And I did, I don't, I'm not one after the game, like in the moment, I'm going to harp on it a lot. And I'm not one after the game to blame a lot of stuff on the officiating, but man, in that Michigan game, the Big Ten crew, what are we doing, man? Like, how is that the crew that you sent for the biggest Big Ten game in the year? The officiating was a joke. It was bad all the way around. There's no way you can tell me that Trey and Caleb foul out and both teams are playing the same style. And Michigan just guys don't pick up fouls. Like, that just doesn't make sense to me. If you're gonna call it both ways. And it just was not called both. And to an extent that's gonna happen on the road, but man, it seemed pretty extreme in Ann Arbor.
Yeah, I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe in both halves there was like a 6 or 7 minute stretch where Michigan didn't pick up a foul. The foul discrepancy being 13 to 23. If you've watched any lick of Purdue basketball, knowing the way that we utilize TKR, it just, I don't know if you could see a scenario where he plays 30 minutes in a game and gets no free throws. I think that I feel like that's one of the more glaring statistics. And like you said, our bigs, they both foul out and combine to only draw six fouls. Meanwhile, Danny Wolf, who drew seven fouls on his own, it just, yeah, I don't like calling, I don't like necessarily speaking about officiating because it's like, hey, look, the officials are the officials. You kind of have to play through that. But yeah, this very much so seemed like a game where it's hard to, in the overall conversation about the game, it's hard to not point to the officiating and be like, yeah, that was kind of crazy. I mean, what, we went 6 of 8 from the line, and Michigan went 18 of 26. So you have 8 attempts versus 26 attempts. And that's like making it seem as though, like, oh, well, like if we were a team who just shot a bunch of threes, then like, yeah, I can see that, but we're not. Like we do shoot a fair number of threes. I mean, we shot 20, they shot 23. So then how are you going to tell me that they shoot 26 free throws and that we shoot 8? Were we playing that poor of defense? We're playing that poor of defense and still led the game for over 35 minutes. Like, I don't know. It's just like, yeah, that, like, I, again, like, officiating is not something I like, talking about it at nauseam. I'm not like certain people we know out there. But yeah, it's one of those things. I feel like when you're talking about this game, you have to point that out. You have to talk about how that game was not officiated fairly both ways. And I have no problem if the refs just suck, but they suck both ways in terms of like, oh, maybe a pause too. But I have no problem if they're calling it the same way, but like, for the entire game. So like if they're calling something and it's like, yo, that's a bad call, but they're doing it on both ends, I'm fine with that. But this felt like they were allowing Michigan to play one type of way on defense, and they weren't allowing us to do so ourselves. And when you have that happening, that's where bad officiating, I think, gets even more magnified. Because yeah, now like that again, that discrepancy is nonsense. Given if you've watched any Purdue basketball this year, like we do work inside out in terms of like utilizing the post game with TKR.
I think Caleb Furse is the first person to foul out after missing a dunk. I don't
That was
know how that was
crazy.
called. I don't know how that was called a foul when he went up and missed it. And then the official right there called it a travel.
Yeah.
And a referee not near the play came in and changed it. And I think that's one of my biggest gripes with officiating in general is when
The guy who's seemingly
most
out of
of the
position
time there's
is
an
making the
official
call.
right there and
Yeah.
they either call something or they let it slide.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Applied. But when an official who clearly was not near where it happened, then they come in and either call a foul or change it. Man, that grinds my gears. But to your point, like it would be different if Purdue just jacked up threes and played like a different style. But they both teams legit were playing the same type of basketball. And I think that's my biggest area of being upset with it is. It just wasn't called the same, but both teams were playing essentially the same.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we out rebounded them. We out rebounded them. We had 13 more shots than they did. 13 more field goal attempts than they did. You know, you put those two stats together, and it's like, okay, well, yeah, like if you're out rebounding someone and getting more shot opportunities, well, clearly, like you guys are out here, you're crashing the boards. And if you're saying that the game is physical because you called us for 23 fouls, well, then how come that's not reflected in their foul account? So, but you know, what do I know? I'm just a regular guy.
So after that game, then the Boilermakers return home this weekend, or this past weekend, and they took on Wisconsin in a game that all of a sudden felt kind of massive after the Michigan game. And it was another game where you it they lost in a different kind of style. Like I would think if you would have asked me before the game if Purdue scores 84 points, and your best player goes 2 of 10 from the field, I'm like, all right, cool. Like
Found
we
another way
probably
to win. That's how
win. But Purdue didn't. The defense was probably the worst defense that they've played in a while, and it's starting to trend that way a little bit. We've talked about it a little bit, but again, kind of when you're winning games, that covers things up. But just kind of wanted to highlight. So in the past few games, you give up 84 against Wisconsin, seven,
we give up
I'm sorry,
94.
94 against
Yeah.
Wisconsin, 75 against Michigan, 72 against
16 against
USC,
Michigan.
81 against Iowa, 76 against IU. So teams have been getting points on Purdue. And I think the thing that really stuck out in this game is that, like, Wisconsin could get whatever they wanted, wherever they wanted. Like, it's one thing if you got some decent on-ball defenders, and not a lot of protection on the rim, or you have a guy who can protect the rim, but Purdue really didn't have either. Wisconsin was literally able to get whatever they wanted. I can't remember a time I saw a team shoot 72% from the field in a half. That's just insane to me. And really, if you take out the 3-pointers, I mean, it just gets even obviously higher. Like, I don't know, man. It was a tough one for me just based off of kind of how big the game. It felt like a weird game too. Like, for as big as the game was, I don't know. It didn't seem like Mackey was as hyped as I thought it was gonna be. And I think part of it too is give a lot of credit to Wisconsin because I know for me personally, I did not know how skilled they were on the offensive side of the ball. They were super impressive offensively. And I'm not saying this just because they ran it up on us, but I think that they are a team that can make a really deep run in March. They are a team that you don't want to play. They're a team you really don't want to see in your bracket because of the way that they can score. They can stretch you out. They can score inside. They can shoot the three. They have bigs that can do it both from the inside, outside. They really offensively don't have much of a weakness.
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't necessarily been paying a whole bunch of attention to Wisconsin myself, but in terms of the offensive firepower that they have, I mean, between Tanjay Klesmit and Blackwell, three guys who are able to break you down off the dribble, and I think that's been something that we have seen throughout the course of the year that we struggle with defensively, staying in front of guys on the perimeter. That's given us problems. And then you have a guy like Jack Janicki, who I felt like was hitting three. I mean, they say he only hit three threes, but it felt like he hit like five or six. And then all of a sudden, like I don't like 10 years ago, you weren't looking at Wisconsin team thinking that they're gonna score 94 points in a game, but here they are scoring 94. And honestly, it was 94, and they didn't really need it. I mean, like it was like they got going, and it was just like everyone caught it. Like everyone caught like the hot hand. Like I thought it was just gonna be Tanjay. I thought he was just gonna like he, there was a point in the second half where I was like, oh, okay, so he's just gonna do us like Johnny Davis did us a few years back. All right, like straight. And then Max Klesman was like, no, I want in on this as well. Blackwell, yup. Janicki, they were like, oh yeah, more for us as well. Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you that they're a team who come tourney time, depending on how your team is built, you don't want to see them. You don't want to see them. They very much so seem like a team who, when they are clicking, it can get really scary for you as the opposition. Like they not only can like cut off your water per se in terms of like what the size and athleticism that they have defensively, but also they can then run it up on you if a shootout is what it calls for. They have the guys clearly who are able to make shots to where they can keep up in a high scoring game. So yeah, I mean obviously you got to give quite a bit of credit to Wisconsin. I mean, to score 58 points in the second half, and like you said, they shot 72% from the field, and I believe it was what 12 of 13 from two. Like even sometimes even if we were playing better defense, you kind of wonder, okay, if you're making shots like that, like how much better, like how much worse would they have been if like we were playing like halfway better on defense, like that's just sometimes just better offense beating good de like beating defense regardless of how like what level it is.
Yeah. And I think kind of the one thing that kind of really stinks about this game, too, is man, you had another just insane performance from Trey Kaufman-Wren, too. I mean, if you go back and look at his stat line, 12 of 16 from the field, 6 of 9 from the line, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 30 points. If things go differently in that game, you're probably starting to make an argument for maybe him being Big Ten Player of the Year. Obviously, it didn't work out that way, but be remiss if we didn't kind of highlight, how well he played.
Yeah.
Because he, I
And he was
mean, he.
undersized. He's undersized in both of those matchups. Like whether he had Winter or he had Crawl on him, he was undersized. And he was getting busy. He was still getting to his spots, still, footwork impeccable. I mean, 6 for 9, I think that's probably the worst free throw performance he's had in I think a few weeks.
And it
But
felt worse, honestly.
it did. I think maybe that's because like the timing of when he was missing those free throws, it just felt like bigger. But yeah, man, I mean all things considered, like if they had won and he'd had the same stat line of what 34 and 5, yeah, there's definitely a different conversation, which I still think, like if you're talking about like first team all Big Ten, like you still need to be talking about TKR in it. But obviously that case gets bolstered if he puts up that stat line and you win.
Yeah, I'm with you, and I just wanted to highlight that so that not everything on the pod today was doom and gloom. The Trey really played well. But Sim, I want to ask you kind of moving forward now. So, essentially, The chance for the Big Ten title is probably out the window. If we're being honest at this point, you're going to need a lot of help. I don't see Michigan losing. They have to lose at least three more games. I just don't really see that happening. And then you still have to take care of business on your end, which we'll talk about here in a sec, which is not easy. So now kind of you have to flip the switch kind of, and I think it's a thing we've talked about, and it's kind of easier said than done, and kind of coaches talk where it's one game at a time. But I think it's even magnified now. Like all of a sudden, all these games just become massive because now you're essentially at this point, I would argue, you're playing for the double bye. And that's not a lock right now either. Like you still have business you have to take care of. And I think that's what really sucks about last week is even if you split it, you're still in a pretty decent spot. And you're feeling pretty good, at least for like the double bye. Because you'll have beaten Wisconsin, so you have the tiebreaker there. Like you said, if you would have handled business against Michigan, now you're feeling really good. But obviously those two things didn't happen. So now, like, what do you do to kind of flip the switch and get things right? Because you got to get it right in a hurry because this is not getting any easier.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the time, this is a time where, of course, you look to your leaders, so you look to Fletch, Braden, TKR, and obviously like in Caleb, you look to those guys and those, it has to start with them in terms of the kind of, you have to almost kind of like in my opinion, you seemingly kind of have to reset and like relock in. We were talking about this before we started recording, but they lost two straight to Texas A&M and Auburn, and then turned around and won seven straight, 11 out of the next 12. And then you came back with a counter of, well, look at that. Look at who those, look at the schedule then versus the schedule now. And it's harder now than it was then. But I think we can agree that something definitely changed in that locker room after those two losses in terms of guys understanding from an accountability standpoint and like, hey, look, the way that we're playing is not good enough. We need to all lock in and get back to playing a brand of basketball that we're all confident in, and that we're that can win us games. Will these next Will these two games that are coming up this week, are they going to be hard as hell? Hell yeah. They're both on the road. One's against your in-state rival. The other's against another team who's fighting for the Big Ten championship. They're going to be difficult. But if you go back to something we've said, several times over the last few weeks, if you're the team that you think you are and you're capable of really making a deep run, making a deep run in a tournament, or even if a team who just as a week ago kind of was in the driver's seat of winning the Big Ten regular season, if you're that team, if you are a team that is on the upper echelon of the Big Ten, you're gonna have to find a way to win three, four of these ones coming home. It's just kind of how that has to go. And again, I'm not gonna ask for style points. I'm not gonna sit here and say, well, you need to win them this kind of way. No, you just need to win. And if that means it has to get a bit uglier, then okay, that's what that is. But I think you gotta look at them. And the bigger thing is just that, like, the guys on the bench, it's just kind of like there's no, the others, I should say, is like, hopefully they understand too that, like, everyone's level has to pick up, like, and if guys have to do a level of soul searching to kind of figure out, like, hey man, like, no, I'm committed to this. I'm gonna double down in terms of like the work and the time I'm putting into this to really make sure that, like, I'm in the best situation I can be going into a game. Then that's what it is. If you have to stay after and get more shots up, talking like, to try to get some confidence back in your shot, kind of speaking specifically about Cam and Miles. Then yeah, that's what you have to do. You have to. I mean, this is all. It's gonna be one game at a time. It's not like winning against Michigan State's gonna all of a sudden, bam, guarantee you the next four. But yeah, I think that's how it starts. It just starts by, okay, like, look, we have to refocus, and we have to give everything for this game in East Lansing, and then If we play our style of basketball and we up our level and play the way that we know we can, we go out, we end up leaving there with a win. And then, you again, you kind of have to reset and then get ready to for IU. You got to take them one at a time, but also it kind of requires everything now. Like, I think that you almost need to be in postseason mode now, just kind of feeling like every loss is gonna is every loss just means so much more at this point now. Every loss means so much more. And yeah, this is just a time of the year where where you want to start playing your best basketball. So hopefully they know that. And again, it starts at the top with with your leaders. But yeah, everyone just has to know, like, okay, we've been able to bounce back from a couple losses before. We can do it again. And we just have to all go back to that place and really be committed to doing our job. And thus, the sum of the parts will get us what we need to get.
Yeah, and I think like one thing that makes this game Michigan State so big, and what kind of really hurt about the Wisconsin game is that you only play them once.
Right.
And as things kind of get muddied up, in the 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 spots atop the Big Ten, all of a sudden these games are just huge swing games. And so you've already lost the tiebreaker to Wisconsin. Now, if you lose this game against Michigan State, you're essentially, you've really put yourself in a tough spot where flip it, where if you are able to go into the Breslin Center and knock them off, all of a sudden you guys are tied at 11-4 in the Big Ten and you have the tiebreaker. So it's just like a massive swing game, as I hate to say it, but as Michigan has kind of separated itself a little bit, and those teams kind of now the 2, 3, 4, 5 spots are getting really, really tight now. And there's not a lot of margin for error. And when you only play a couple of those teams in there once, these games just become so much more massive because of the implications as far as tiebreakers. And so, that's another thing that really hurt about that Wisconsin loss is now you put yourself behind the eight ball there. Now you have to go to the Breslin Center, where a place you really struggle to play. I mean, and let's be fair, most teams struggle to play there. It's, one of the toughest environments in the country.
You say that
Tom.
though, how you say that though, and IU won there last week.
Yeah.
Jesus,
Well,
I hate sports, man.
Tom Izzo just became the winningest coach in Big Ten Conference, so be ready on the broadcast to hear about that a million times. I don't know. It just feels like, and I feel like we've been saying this for a while, and we're going to keep probably saying it week after week, but this week is just like a massive week now. But with what happened last week, these games just become so much bigger because you literally don't have much room for error now. And the competition is just so tough. That like, I don't want to
Your
say
margin.
one win, but it really feels like, even from just a confidence standpoint, almost like a must win. Like, I don't know if you watch any of the post game stuff, but it was the most down I've seen the guys after a loss in a while. And you start to worry if that, if the games kind of start to snowball like that too.
Yeah, no, I think I think your margin for error for the, like, if you're talking about like getting a double bye, your margin for error for that is gone. And then it just becomes after that, it's like, all right, well, if you're open, then that you have to start playing. I think it'd be what, Thursday. Yeah, I mean, you still have some margin for error for that, but you don't have a lot of that because, Maryland, UCLA are right behind you. And like you said, like, Illinois is kind of creeping up there as well. So, even then, it's still not great, but yeah, I wouldn't necessarily. I don't want to sit here and say that tomorrow's a must win, but by way of last week, it is. I mean, I don't think there's another way you
It
can.
feels really.
Yeah, you just. I just think personally myself, I feel like you have to have this one. I think each week we've gone into, each week when they've had these two games, we've always been looking at it like, hey, yeah, well, one of these you have to have. And usually we'll pick out like whatever one has been the easiest one. So like I remember what the week of Ohio State and Michigan, it was like, yo, you have to get that Ohio State game because you know what I mean? You don't know what's gonna happen with Michigan. And obviously went the reverse, but okay. But this, and you know, and I think last week, at least I feel for myself, I'm like, I think you needed the Michigan game more than you needed the Wisconsin game. But this one, I genuinely feel like you need the Michigan State game, even though it is the harder of the, it will presumably will be the harder of the two. But just in terms of, I think too, and just in terms of restoring confidence of just like, not that, hey, like we're a good basketball team, like you can say that, but like you're going up against, you know, the upper half of the standings and you're losing. And so you in a week span, you could have lost to the team that's first, second, and fourth in the conference. And that can, you know, that like in terms of what that does to your psyche within that locker room, like I don't necessarily want the guys to have to go through that. And maybe that's kind of what their look that was setting in on their post-game presser, just understanding like, man, these were two opportunities we had and we weren't able to cash in on either of them. And kind of now we don't have our destiny in our hands the way we want to. So it's kind of like having to pick yourself up off the mat and like, okay, but we still have an opportunity. You know, we still have big games to play going forward. And so that's why you hope tomorrow, I mean, yeah, you hope that on Tuesday they come out with that effort and are able to snag one on the road. But I just, yeah, I feel like this one, this Michigan State game, I feel like it is a must win. I always say an IU game's a must win because fuck IU. But I genuinely feel like this Michigan State game is a must win game. I don't think there's even a way that they can lose and we'd be like, well, hey, but at least they did this better. Like, it, to me, it's you either win and shit is good or lose and damn it. That's just kind of how I look at it. So.
Yeah, and I would say too, like, it's a big like game for you got to start looking kind of your seed come March, and kind of some statement wins, and all of a sudden, like, you were sitting last week probably like right at you were feeling pretty good about a two seed,
Yeah, like the third two seed, I think, last week.
and now you know. This is an opportunity to get a monster quad one win. I know as of right now, they're in the NCAA net is 13th. So now you're kind of borderline 3-4. A win at Michigan State, I think, really kind of helps that resume lock you into. Granted, you take care of business the rest of the way too, but a win like this I think kind of gets you back into like the three seed, where you start to feel a little more comfortable, compared to like a four or you know even if it gets really bad a five, but I think that you know not only for Big Ten but I think you got to start looking kind of towards your seeding for March, and this can go a long way there as well.
Yeah, no. Yeah, you definitely have to look at the larger picture in terms of your NCAA seeding and yeah, but I think all of that comes second to how the team plays. You know, like if Purdue comes out and they're playing, I don't even know which one, like if they come out and play with the defensive intensity that they did against Michigan, I'd almost say the offensive output that they put against, well, not, well, that's almost greedy, but like they come out and they play like offensively the way they played against Nebraska, then like, yeah, you like your chances. But I defensively for me is where I think that this game tomorrow will be like, will be won or lost to an extent, because defensively we've been getting, like you said, you pointed out like the number of points we've been giving up, and that has to change. That has to change. Because if you're not hitting shots, you can't be allowing the other team to then go down and them the, you know, be getting past you on defense and, you know, getting high percentage looks and whatnot, you know, causing you to be having to constantly be in help and rotation and stuff like that. Like that has been I think a growing concern of mine, even despite the winning. And I think it only, of course, like you said, when you win, it's not talked about as much. And when you lose, obviously, then you're looking at everything and all of that stuff gets magnified. But yeah, I think defensively, like this team needs to worry more about just getting back to playing a good brand of basketball on both ends, but I think especially the defensive end. I think if they do that, then the other stuff will kind of play out as it can. As I mean, I play out as it will, because even from a seeding standpoint, you still have to remember, like, if this team gets hot and then all of a sudden they find themselves in playing in the Big Ten championship game, like Big Ten conference championship, I mean, a Big Ten tournament championship, well then yeah, like whatever their seeding might have been going in versus what it would be at that point, it'll change. But yeah, it is definitely time to start thinking about not just the Big Ten regular season and the tournament, like the conference tournament, but also like your seeding for the NCAA.
Yeah, so let's kind of give you just a little breakdown of the game. It'll be Tuesday the 18th, a 7 p.m. Eastern tip-off. It'll be on Peacock again. So for whatever reason, Big Ten thinks that they need to put their most important games on Peacock. So just be ready for that. The good news is you get Noah Eagle and Robbie Hummel and Caroline Pineda on the call. So for my money, some of the best broadcasters out there. So you have that. But just kind of as we talk about this game specifically, Sim, and I won't ask you to pick like a winner or anything like that, because we've already talked about how important this game is. I just have a really bad feeling that it's going to be a game where Purdue comes blowing the doors off, jump out to a big lead midway through the first half, and Izzo's going to get teed up. He's going to get into the refs, and the game is just going to switch. And I really, really hope that I'm wrong, but I just have a feeling like it would not shock me at all if that's how the game goes.
Yeah, I just anytime you go into East Lansing, it just yeah, I think it's gonna be I think it's important for Purdue to get out to a good start, but then the challenge will be withstanding the runs from Michigan State. And I think so I watched the Michigan State IU game last week, and Michigan State was actually kind of doing whatever they wanted to IU until IU switched to a zone, and it really gummed up the works for what Michigan State was trying to do, because apparently they're not the greatest team from like shooting from the perimeter. Now, knock on wood, that doesn't jinx us for tomorrow. But yeah, I can see that game kind of much like in the light that you're saying, where like they get out to a good start, and then it's just all about being able to withstand, like to be able to throw counters, like when Michigan State responds, about being able, okay, you go on a 6-0 run, all right, cool, then we outscore you, 10-4 over the next like 3 minutes, something like that, to where you're kind of able to weather the storm. But yeah, I've seen a lot of good teams go into Eastland, a lot of good Purdue teams go into Michigan State and leave there with a loss, and I hate saying that, it won't surprise me if that's the case. But I also think that this team is more than capable if they are kind of able to refine their form. I think that they're more than capable of being able to do what IU did, which is where, because IU did a great job of that. Like Michigan State, like they ended up taking the lead. I think IU took the lead by like 8 or 9. And then Michigan State came back and IU had an answer. Michigan State came back and IU had an answer. And I like, having seen that, I'm like, there's no reason why this Purdue team can't do that as well. And that was even before what I saw with Wisconsin. I was thinking, like, there's no reason why Purdue can't do this same thing. So, yeah, I have optimism that the boys will figure it out, for sure. But I'm just as nervous and anxious as I was going into the Michigan game.
And I will end by saying this. If you are into it and it's legal in your state and you are into gambling, I would look into taking every Braden Smith over that there is out there. He's
Parlay
shown
and
time and
parlay and ladder him.
time and time again, whenever one, they're coming off losses, and two, they're coming off a game in which he may not have had the best game stat-wise, he normally responds in a pretty massive way. So I am expecting a huge Braden Smith game. And I think he's really gonna kind of put I think he's going to give everybody a reminder of why he's the best point guard in the country. And Purdue is going to need it. They're going to need him to play pissed off the rest of the season. They no more passive Braden. Need him to play like his hair is on fire. Need him to hunt his shots because he's too good of a player. Like, stop throwing lob passes up to Caleb first. Shoot the ball. And I think you're going to see a very upset Braden Smith, and that's going to be a really good thing for Purdue.
Man said, no time for teammates anymore. That's crazy. No, I think between Braden and TKR, I think you're gonna need to see a player of the year performance from one of those two, and then the average from the other, if that makes sense. If Braden's the one who gives you, let's just say he goes around and tomorrow and he's just like, yeah, man, like a 30 piece on your head, so he gives you like 35 and like 12. Then you're gonna need TKR to have like, honestly, I think you're gonna need him to have like 25 and 6, 25 and 7, something like that. But yeah, I agree with you. I think Braden, I do look for Braden to have a bigger game. And again, like as you asked me, well, what does this team do going forward? This is a game too where I feel like you look at Braden, at Fletch, and at TKR, and like, hey man, it's got to be some like we go as you guys go type deal. I look for them all, look for all three of those guys to be more aggressive because they need to be. They genuinely do, especially if you can kind of tell, like, all right, the other guys might not have it. All right, cool. Then more of it's on us, and we just got to kind of keep carrying that load until one of those guys decides, like, is able to kind of to tap in on the experience. Like that's just, I think that's just what is going to be required of all three of them. I don't, I think we even passed kind of identifying guys individually at this point, because as we were talking about before, I think we recorded about like those three or four, they like those three might have to combine one game for 70. They might have to, like, genuinely on their own. And then you just got to pray, like, defensively and stuff like that, that it plays out a certain kind of way. But you need more from all three of them, and those are the three guys who you've kind of leaned on all year. And we're at the time of the year now where it's like your money guys have to show up. So we can't have a game like Braden and Fletch. I mean, Braden and TKR can have essentially like monster games themselves, but like Fletch, you can't then have 8 points on like one of six from the field. 0 of 3 from 3, like that can't happen. You need all three of those guys. I think that's where it'll start, and I think that's like offensively, that's what it's going to require. It's going to require all three of those guys to give you something.
Yep, I'm right there with you. And I'm not going to say that it is going to happen, but I have a feeling that we're going to be on triple double watch in this game with Braden. It
Caleb
just
Fletcher.
feels like a game where he's going to finish like with 28, 8, and 10. It just feels like one of those games. And man, I think we're all waiting for him to get that triple double. And
Be a good time to get it tomorrow.
man, sign me up,
Right.
because we will need it. But no matter what happens, Sim and I will be here to break it all down for you. Again, it is a 7 p.m. Eastern tip on Peacock in East Lansing. And then they travel down to that school down south this weekend. And we'll find out a lot about this team here this week, hopefully in a very good way. But like we said, we will be here to discuss it all, win or lose, no matter what happens. Just make sure you boiler up.
Yes, sir.